We bang, we clink into each other. It's good. It's good to be a marble. Feels good. And then we go away. Yet that is not the word picture for koinonia. Koinonia is something more. This is a grape. They look similar, but they are fundamentally different. Koinonia is when you take a bunch of grapes and you bang them together. What happens? I require a bowl for this, don't I? Why? Because they get mushy and they bunch up against each other and they get up in each other's business. Now, getting up each other's business maybe is not such a good thing, except that marbles will never produce wine. But grapes will. A word of encouragement for us as a body. And I know COVID makes things interesting. But my friends, we are called to be both marbles and grapes. We are to have koinonia to be a healthy believer. They were paying attention to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship. They were worshiping. This idea of worship means breaking of bread, has more of a meal aspect. In verse 46, the writer unpacks this, the writer being Luke. They were both having communion and they were having feast. Think of it like a crawfish boil. Good stuff happens. Here we see this idea of that they were together. It builds on the koinonia, the idea of being grapes and into the lives of each other. Last, we see the idea of prayer. Prayer fuels excitement and enthusiasm because it reminds us that what's going on is not about us, it's about Him. These were the things that the New Testament church were continually engaging with. And for 2,000 years, this prescription has still been in play. You and I should order our lives around Jesus. How? Teaching, fellowship, worship, prayer. The common denominator with all four is a four-letter word, T-I-M-E. They all take time. The question we must ask this morning is, are we too busy to have a whole soul? Jesus says, what will a man or a woman give in exchange for their soul? Could it be that our priorities are out of order? A fractured life, a ragged soul. How is it with your soul this morning? In your bulletin, you'll see I did a little research. I like statistics, kind of nerdy that way. We sleep around 7 hours a day. We work 8.8 hours. We eat 65 minutes at the dinner table and 17 minutes we snack. We shop on average 20 minutes a day. We spend 150 minutes a day on social media. And we dream about vacation 33 minutes a day. Now, if you and I sleep around 7 hours, that leaves a 17-hour day to be had, which is roughly 120 hours a week that we are awake. Sunday morning, when we come together to be marbles together, that's basically 1% of your time. 1 hour Christians. Yet here at Trinity, we would call you to do more. How about 2 hours? Can you spare two? Out in the lobby this morning, we have all sorts of small groups, Bible studies, regen. We're offering short-run studies on Sunday morning, all with the heart that we would become more like grapes. How are you ordering your life around the four? Teaching, fellowship, worship, and prayer. Catherine, my bride, her love language, she has two of them actually, and she changed one halfway through our marriage, which is really tricky. It takes a lot of work to figure things like that out. The one that has been remained consistent is time. She wants my time. And I tend to be a fairly structured order, box checking type of guy. You know what my wife doesn't want? She doesn't want to be a box that's checked. She wants to have a relationship with me. What if for 1 hour every day, I eat dinner with her and four kids, and I tell her I love her? How does she feel? Eh. But what if I take her on a date and give her an extra hour? No kids, no cooking. They're different. And I do both because I want to pursue a relationship with my bride. You know, in the same way for you and I, as we pursue Jesus, being a marble is awesome. We should invite others to join us. But doesn't God call us to more than 1 hour for him in a week? How can we find wholeness of soul? Seek to order our lives around God's will. Second, engage in Christian community. We live in a graceless age. Makes us wonder if Christian community should be the safe space, a perfect place. It's not, and it never will be. You see, to engage in Christian community does have an element of risk, but Jesus has always and will always bless Christian community. You see, it's where we find amazing unity and generosity centered on Christ. Look at verses 43 to 46. Again, a description. Everyone kept feeling a sense of awe, and many wonders and signs were taking place through the apostles. And all those who had believed were together and had all things in common. And they began selling their property and possessions and were sharing them with all as anyone might have need. Day by day, continually with one mind in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart. Here we see two things. We see unity. Listen to these words that I just read. Everyone, all those who had believed, one mind, gladness, and sincerity. This description flows from the prescription before that people, individuals, individually and collectively were centering their lives on Christ. The second thing we see is this generous community. Listen again to the words that rise up out of the text. Together, all things in common, sharing, day by day, house by house. And I get that that was 2,000 years ago in a different place, in a different time. But again, it's where we as a church, we want to move toward. It's why Trinity on Wednesday nights have youth in small groups for the sake of community. It's why we do small groups in the fall and the spring, and we don't run ourselves ragged. We take the summers off in 2 months around Christmas. It's why we have men and women's Bible studies, because we get in closer proximity to each other. It's why on Sunday morning for the next season, we're going to have small bursts of study. It's why we do regen, all for the sake of community. Yet, we live in COVID. We're called to be wise. We need to watch our hearts. And yes, some need to be all need to be wise in how they respond, but we cannot give up on community. If anything, it requires that we become more creative to bridge the gap. Whether that be on a back porch, together, or across each other from a cup of coffee, maybe on Zoom. Why Christian community? Why not just be close to the parents of your kids' friends on the soccer field? How about my professional peers that I see all the time? How about a few close friends from high school or college or my neighborhood? Is that not enough? Why Christian community? Because great things happen in Christian community. Spiritual vitality versus mediocrity and the status quo. I love what Ronald Reagan said about the status quo. He said it was Latin for the mess we find ourselves in. What happens in community? Specifically, four things. First, sacrifice. Sacrifice rarely takes place in solitude. It is fueled by community. Second, stewardship. Stewardship doesn't happen flying solo. It's realized in community. Third, sanctification. Sanctification rarely occurs in a closet. It happens in community. And last, the spiritual gifts. The spiritual gifts can't be fully engaged outside of the body of Christ. They were designed for the body, and that is where they are engaged. At Trinity, our heart is to make disciples who follow Jesus. And while preaching and programs are good, they don't make the best disciples. People in Christian community make the best disciples. The backbone of Trinity. If you would ask me as your pastor, where does the health and vitality of this body lie? It is not in the preaching. It is within the community of the body. Small groups, tiny groups, Bible studies, get a cup of coffee with somebody, talk about Jesus. You know what I love down here? You even call your coffee community coffee. That's awesome. Maybe we should do a little more community while we drink it. As if we need to be reminded. We are to major on relationships. Show up, be intentional, talk of Jesus, and if needed, drink more coffee. Satan has effectively and efficiently divided community in our culture. But my friends, where the world struggles, the church says, step aside, we have this because we have Jesus. It is in community that the church should shine. But COVID-19, I know, it's all I've known. We're out of the habit. Yes, some of us are. When do grapes turn back to marbles? I was thinking about marbles. What happens when a marble gets by itself in my house and it's in a corner lost all by itself? It gets pitched. We do need to come together. But what happens when a grape rolls behind the couch and lays there for a year? It gets hairy and moldy and just looks disgusting. My friends, marbles, grapes, we need each other. What if you've never tried to be in a small group? What if you've been sideways too long? What if you feel too old or too young or it's just too hard? I got good news for you. You and I were made to do hard things. When I moved here, there was so much going on. I have been a lifelong runner. And for a year, I did zero running. I didn't even walk for 6 months. I didn't even want to walk. And recently, I've thought, man, if I'm going to make it here 20 years, I got to get moving, especially with how good the food is. So a couple months back, I started walking. I'd like to tell you it was great. It wasn't. My body hurt. I just walked, and my body hurt. I thought, man, buddy, you are out of shape. So what did I do? Did I quit? I thought about it. No, I decided that I'm going to now run a mile. That's not very far from me. I hurt worse. Had to start taking a leave at night. It's bad on the other side of 40. Now I'm trying for 2. If I will do that for my physical health, what will I do for my soul? Paul says that physical activity is a little bit profitable, but the soul is eternal. It's eternal. How about you? How's your community game? Does it extend beyond being a marble? How can we find wholeness? First, seek an ordered life around God's will. Second, engage in Christian community. And third, love what Jesus loves. Love what Jesus loves. Learn to invest in the eternal. It is a process. You can love other things. I was meeting with Judah this morning, and he looked at me and said, Dad, I love football, and football's about ready to start. I said, yes. And then he told me the Saints had 6 fumbles in the last game. I said, they better get that out of their system soon. And then he looked at me and he said, and I can love football, but Jesus has to come first. I said, yes, always first with Jesus. Look at verse 47. We see a description again. It says, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord was adding to their number day by day those who were being saved. God is always advancing his kingdom, and he is always building his church. He added 2 to it this last week. Verse 47, what we see, this idea of praising God in favor, if we could reduce that and make it simpler for our minds, it is glory and grace. It is his glory, and it is his grace flowing through his people. In 47, the back half, it says, and the Lord was adding to their number day by day those who were being saved. When Christians order their lives around Jesus, when they engage in Christian community, and when they love what Jesus loves, the outcome is grace, glory, and growth. I want to be careful here. I personally have never seen 3,000 come to Christ in a day. Could the Lord choose to do that? He could. It's fascinating, in the midst of COVID, I don't even know what our numbers here at Trinity are. But we will go deeper with Jesus. And we will trust as he wants to grow, he will grow. It is his church. How do we do this? You and I must live a life for God versus self. Our identity must be secure in Christ. What does our identity look like? Our priorities, our community, and our loves or our passions. I love this picture in 43 to 47. It is a picture of grace. We are to love people like Jesus. That's grace that comes from him to us to be distributed. Because we love God well, we're seeking to glorify him. Don't wait. Don't wait to be engaged. Jesus says, he who loves his life will lose it. But he who loses his life for my sake will find it. Last, don't hate on what Jesus loves. If we continue in the narrative of the book of Acts, we see in chapters 3 through 5, first the church comes in to conflict from the Sanhedrin in the power of the day. The church will never fit great into the culture at large. Then we see individuals, Ananias and Sapphira, trying to play games with God and the church, and that just doesn't go well. Three thoughts on this idea of not hating what Christ loves. First, if you have been hurt in a past season by this body and you have disengaged, you are called to be holy. And that will not happen apart from the body of Christ. If you have been bumped, or you have drifted, or you just don't like what's here, may I encourage you, go somewhere and engage in the body. It is the best for you. Second, don't make light of community. I was at Ollie's, the discount store. I was at the discount store. Thank you. I was checking out and I looked at a lady across the counter and I said, "How are you?" Catherine was with me. I said, "How you doing?" She said, "Okay." And I said, "What's up?" She said, "Well, my cousin passed away from COVID." I said, I am so sorry. She said, "Yeah, the funeral's this weekend." And then she didn't know me from Adam, didn't know I was a pastor. She looked at me and she got angry and she said, "I told my cousin not to go to church. I told my cousin that the church doesn't matter and you can just have a relationship vertically this way and the community doesn't matter." And she was angry and she was hurting and I just looked at her and I said, "I am so sorry." But my friends, sometimes we can slip into that theology in our head. And we say, "Hey, it's you and me, Jesus, and I'm good." My friends, Scripture says we are not good apart from the body. Last, don't live with regrets. I have had the privilege of being in 6 churches in my lifetime. Not one of them was perfect. I only have one regret, and that was when I was in college. I was too busy, too lazy, I don't know. But I would show up to church every Sunday, and there was a small group in this Presbyterian church, specifically for college students, and there were about 20 in it. And I never gave it a thought. It is my only regret when it comes to church. Fascinating, that church paid for 25% of my seminary. Even though I didn't engage, I was blessed by the body. Don't live with regrets when it comes to community. How do we find wholeness? Seek God's will. Order your life around the best. Engage in Christian community. Be grapes. Love what Jesus loves. Jesus loves the church. He died for her. She is his bride and he is perfecting her. I am praying for this body. I do consistently. I'm praying specifically this fall that God moves in many individual hearts to engage at different levels, all for the sake of our King. May we invite our friends to be marbles here with us. May we also help them to become grapes. And where needed, may we take them out for a cup of community coffee to talk about Christ. As for me, this fall, Catherine and I will engage in a small group. We set out last semester, and it's time to get back in. The elders and the staff are leading out in small groups and studies in different venues. We have over 25 individuals in this church that have stepped up, willing to lead and facilitate, to serve in small groups, both in the adult and in the youth. We have another 10 Bible studies If you engage in one of these, they will require time. They will be risky. You may become a little like a grape. It will take more creativity because of COVID. That's okay, the Lord will give it. But there is great reward. Wholeness. Wholeness. Want a soul that's whole? Live for His glory. Live to give grace. And strive to be a grape. Let's pray. Father, community is not easy. We are a messy people. Not one of us is perfect. And yet, Lord, when we sink down into community, we find that You bring life, redemption, restoration. It is as if we can breathe again. It's good for the soul. Father, I know that there is a broad spectrum of individuals that are worshiping here at Trinity and in light of COVID. But Lord, may collective creativity come to the fore. May individuals connect the dots. May small groups be formed. May Bible studies be filled. May cups of coffee be had. All for the sake of the King. It's in His great name we pray. Amen.
We go ahead and stand together. People come together, strangers, neighbors, our blood is one. Children of generations, of every nation, of kingdom come. So don't let your heart be troubled. Hold your head up, I don't fear no evil. Fix your eyes on this one true. God is madly in love with you. So take courage, hold on, be strong. Remember where our help comes from. Oh, all you heavens, let the praise go up as the walls come down. All creation, everything with breath beneath the sound. All his children, clean hands, pure hearts, good grace, good God. His name is Jesus. All you heavens, let the praise go up as the walls come down. All creation, everything with breath, breathing the sound. All his children, clean hands, pure heart, good grace, good God. His name is Jesus. It's in his blood. And Jesus, light of heaven, friend forever, his kingdom come.
Would you give the Lord a round of praise today? Amen. Amen. He is our hope. Our redemption, he is everything. Our prayer team's going to be here this morning. We pray that you guys have been blessed today as we have worshiped, as we've entered into God's presence and heard from his word. So again, our prayer team's going to be here if you have any prayer needs or prayer requests that you need prayer for. I just want to remind you, we have tables set up in the lobby. Small groups about to launch. You find more information about small groups, men's Bible studies, women's Bible studies, regeneration, all those things. Stop by and visit the tables, ask questions, and find out more info. You guys have a blessed week. We'll see you next week.